are the 1, 2, 3
Sore Losers!
What up, everybody? I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports, so I'll give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I'm pretty much a sports
genius.
Nice.
What's up, everyone? I'm Eddie, and I know the least about the sports, but I'm your average sports fan, your sports watcher. I just don't know the who's or the what's what.
What up, y'all? It's Sizzin. I'm from the north. I'm an alpha male. I'm a guy's guy. I also like to go to bars and shotgun White Claws. Hopefully very, very soon. I'll be doing that right now. Still on the west side, shotgunning on the patio. It's just me and Baser. We're still partially quarantining.
Guys, update from Friday. I still have no update. I have not heard back.
That's always the best kind of update.
I know people are wondering if we made a love connection,
he got the video.
He got the video, but we have no idea if he showed it to the girl, and we don't know if Brittany said yes. We're just still waiting. We are out here in La La Land going, hey, man, did it
happen? We're not in L.A.
Well, okay. We're in
fairy tale land.
We're just waiting. We're out in the, we're stranded in the middle
cold.
Of nowhere.
We're in the cold.
Yeah, we're in the cold. That's right. We want to know. We want to be filled in, but nothing back yet.
Well, why is there nothing back? He didn't text you back. Did you ask him?
I haven't heard back. I said, how'd it go? And we haven't heard anything.
Oh, so you text him and he just straight up didn't text you back after the video and everything?
I mean, maybe he didn't show it to her yet. Maybe he's waiting. Maybe I don't know.
Hey, speaking of all that, though, you know, he had a hard time getting the video, and then he offered me some beer money to just directly email it to him, which I did.
Did you get the beer money?
I did not, because he said that he sent it to Lunchbox because he couldn't find my name. Now, Lunchbox, you owe me the beer money.
How much? It does. He did send some beer money for you.
How much we got?
He sent $20.
What?
Beer money.
Woo!
But I decided that you're not going to get that money, and we're going to use it to buy Raymundo a drink at his bachelor party.
That's what I'm talking about.
One drink for $20? No.
I mean,
no,
when you're
give
in
me 15 dude, and buy him a drink.
Dude, in Vegas, that will buy me a drink, and I'll let you guys have a let LB have a sip of it.
Yeah, exactly.
We got to get a bottle with that?
No. In Vegas, that's how much a drink is, especially if you ask for a double. I mean, it may be more than that.
Dude, you want to realize how poor you really are? Go to Vegas. I mean, the drinks, everything.
Maybe everything will be on sale because they haven't been open for a while.
Coach, and I don't think we're going to get free drinks.
Coach, I saw another update.
Is my mic on?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I saw another update, Coach, where the pools are definitely going to be, it's base-to-base on every casino. I mean, they can close it. They can open it. It's up to them. And everyone has to be 6 feet apart. And, Coach, the nightclubs, closed.
Right.
That's okay. We weren't planning on going to the nightclub.
What? You guys weren't going to...
Dude, no. Can you see us, him with a dad hag, trying to sneak into a nightclub? I mean,
yeah.
I don't even know if that would have fit with our skills.
That's Lunchbox, dude. He ruled the nightclubs in Vegas.
No, I ruled the nightclub because I would go there to pick up chicks. Like, I'm not going to the club if I'm not picking up chicks. Sorry.
And I don't feel like doing these $100 handshakes because that's the way you get to the front of the line when you have no chicks. Hey, we're rolling deep with 10 dudes. Can we get into your nightclub? No. We've got another whole line of dudes, so we're good on dudes.
Oh, they don't want... a bachelor party going in?
No, they'd rather have a bachelorette party going in. That makes it more attractive. When you see, six swinging Chads going in there, it's like, all right.
Swinging Chads.
Dude, when it was me and South Beach going there, South Beach always was doing those $100 handshakes. Otherwise, we'd have waited in line and basically not even been able to get in the club.
In the early days of my Vegas life, I met a girl. Her sister was a listener.
Before your wife?
Yeah, before my wife.
Okay.
Her sister was a big listener of the Bobby Bones show. And so she started listening to the podcast, and she lived in Vegas. So she didn't know who we were. And so when we'd go to Vegas, it would be a bunch of dudes. She'd walk us right into the club. She knew everybody.
Cool.
I don't know if that's
so.
So she
awesome.
Had gone on a lot of dates.
She worked in a casino. Okay. So she knew people that worked at the club. And then if her club, if that's not the club we wanted to, her friends would talk to someone at the other club and she'd show up and walk us right in. And it was just like,
that's a
hookup.
Yo, guys out there, if your chick knows about a lot of bouncers getting you to fronts of lines and stuff, probably not a good thing. I think that means like if you're dating a girl and all of a sudden she knows tons of people in the bar industry, probably not great.
Yeah. That's a sign.
If she's VIP at the club, probably not a good positive thing.
Coach, also another thing I saw in that article is that casinos, they're gonna maintain them at 50% capacity, Coach. So if you guys get there and there's already 50%, you may just have to wait in the lobby until it opens up.
That sounds like a buzzkill. Hey, guys, we can play craps, but we got to chill in the lobby on this little bench real quick.
Oh, man. Hey, we got to sit there by the fountain. Hey, here, guys, let's throw coins in the fountain. Like, here's what's crazy.
Hey, you all start betting on who gets it closer to the fountain?
Yeah. Oh, well, we could be like Jordan and play quarters where you throw it against the wall. And
with his bodyguards?
Yes. My question is, Vegas already makes a ton of money, right? I can't believe how many people throw money into their water fountains.
Yeah. Like, but I mean, it's just quarters, Coach. I mean, it's probably just kind of like.
But I bet you over the course of a year.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot
they make $1 million?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
What's the point of throwing the money in the fountain? Because I don't really do that.
It's good luck.
It's the same thing with tipping the dealer.
So for the person throwing the money, it's good luck. For the casino, it's money in their pocket.
I'll tell you right now, a person that's lost their ass in Vegas ain't throwing money in the fountain, dude.
It's like,
hey, guys, I'd love to stop by the fountain real quick if you don't mind me throwing my final two quarters into it. I need some good luck, guys. I'm cleaned out.
That's like Eddie. There was a...
Oh, gosh.
What was the statue?
Buddha.
Buddha.
It was a Buddha statue.
I wasn't even there, and I know the story better than you guys.
No. I couldn't remember what the statue was.
But all these fountains and statues, guys, they only have quarters, you know, dimes, nickels.
And what does this have, Eddie?
Bill. $5 bill.
No, it was like a 20.
Is it 20? I thought it was five.
There was a $20 floater?
I mean, I was a little drunk. And it wasn't floating, Coach. It was on Buddha's hands.
It was on his hands. And Eddie's like, I'm going to take that 20. I was like, Eddie, no. No, like, obviously you're going to get in trouble, Eddie. He's like, no, I'm doing it. He walks back, and drunk Eddie sticks his hand on the Buddha.
Wow.
I didn't touch the Buddha. I grabbed the 20.
Takes the 20, turns around, and two guys are there to bust him.
Oh, Coach, I'm talking within 2 seconds.
They're good, dude. Eye in the sky.
It was quick. Hey, whoa. What do you think you're doing with that money, man?
Did you try taking off running, fight or flight?
I said, well, it was mine. But then I decided to put it back. Okay,
yes, likely
sir.
Story.
Yes, sir, here you go.
Now, Eddie, you did announce you're not going to the bachelor party,
correct,
right? Now, I want to know.
That was a great announcement. That was a fun moment in my life. Two of your buddies just want to announce they're not coming to your bachelor party. Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Coach, do you not understand why we wouldn't go? Or is it just kind of like, F you, man.
Oh, no.
Everyone's coming.
I've seen there's a thing called coronavirus, and some people split line in the sand. Some people are okay traveling, some aren't. Yeah. You're on the other line.
Yeah. So you're not mad at me, though. Like, you're not like.
So it's just 100% corona based. You're not ready to take that risk.
Correct.
Cool. Dude, Coach, I respect that you have kids, family. I didn't think you were going to go eat, regardless of coronavirus. It was probably a stretch to think that you could escape from the whole family.
I would have been able to kind of manage a weekend for sure. But Corona, Coach, and then leaving them stranded here where they can't go anywhere, it's even worse.
Dude, listen, Corona is very, very bad, but I'm telling you, FOMO is going to get
worse.
You.
It's even worse, yeah. FOMO is pretty bad.
I'm not going to be on Instagram that weekend.
I'll be honest. Like, I have not gone to a store anywhere. I haven't gone in a building besides work.
Right, but you're going to go to Vegas.
But I'm going to Vegas. Like, I feel like it's Ray's bachelor party.
I feel like you love Vegas so much.
No.
And gambling so much that you would risk your life and the life of others to go have fun.
But Coachy, is that scientifically based? Because now they say sometimes it's better to get out and about. You don't want to be cooped up because then your immune system weakens. So, I mean, it's back and forth. Which do you do? Do you sit in your house for 10 months?
But he's not going to the grocery store is my point. Like, he's not even going anywhere.
Right.
Heck, look at
my hair. I have not had a haircut because I am not ready to go back to the barber and say, cut my hair. Because I saw a story from, like, I think it was Missouri. There was two barbers that worked at a barber, a haircut place. They had symptoms. They still came to work. And they both tested positive for corona. They work in the same shop. And so they had they had exposure to like 180 people that came and got haircuts. Mm.
Dang.
That's rude. Straight rude.
But they also do the temperature checks if you want to do that.
But Coach, what does that do?
If you got a spike temp, you got corona.
If you got the virus on you and it's processing, you don't have a temperature.
Yeah, if it's uploading, it's in the process.
Uploading. That's a good word. Trying to get in the system.
But whatever. So, all right. We got some feedback. I want to go to the wearethesorelosers@gmail.com from Wesley. Sore losers, I've been a loyal listener from the beginning, but just have some constructive criticism.
There we go.
That's it.
For the love of God.
Don't say sports genius.
Please don't make us listen to Eeyore Eddie talk about his 2K player anymore.
Got it.
I fell asleep driving and almost ran my car into a building. Thanks, coachers. Wesley.
I actually thought it was a decent storyline because it was so laughable that you're that invested in some 3D video game.
I mean, we come in here and we talk about our lives. This was a big part of my life the night before.
I mean, the fact that
he... Why did he call me Eeyore, Eddie?
Dude, that wasn't constructive.
I don't know what that means. I don't even know who Eeyore is.
You do.
All right, guys, I don't even know who Garfield is. Yeah, what is it? Some kind of...
Who Eeyore is.
Is it a cat that eats lasagna?
Who's Eeyore? Who is Daffy Duck? I've never heard of it.
Who is Eeyore?
It's Eeyore, the donkey.
From Winnie the Pooh, the donkey. Eeyore.
Hey, but what does he
Winnie?
Do?
He's just a downer.
Oh.
He's always depressed.
I've never heard of this Pinocchio feller.
No. What Pinocchio's people... the main guy. I know Winnie the Pooh.
You were born and raised in Austin, Texas, where they have the biggest Eeyore's birthday party, and you never heard of Eeyore.
They have... Oh, that's Eeyore's birthday?
Yes, that's what the whole thing is. Every year, they celebrate this donkey's birthday. They get wasted and high and play drums.
So why do they do that for this guy? Like, I didn't associate that with the guy from Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah, that's the same dude, Eeyore.
But why is that birthday so important?
I don't know. I don't know why the hippies celebrate Eeyore. I don't get it. They just smoke pot and they play drums. That's what they do the whole day.
Huh. Interesting. But yeah, that was just some criticism. Or
okay,
an email.
Read the one where it talks about you.
So that was the email we got.
I
over
picked
the
out the one that was against Eddie.
Exactly.
It wasn't against me. Hey, guys.
Read some more.
I'm going to just pick a random email here out of the inbox. Ripping on Eddie.
Guys, I check the emails every day. This is the first one we've gotten in 2 months.
We really haven't got many emails lately because we keep forgetting to say the email address. So that's why I've been trying to bring it back in. So like when we got that love connection on Friday, then we get this email this weekend.
Here, give me the email and password. I'll look up.
Hey, I like though on that Twitter how you tag Brandon Marshall. I mean, at least maybe gets in front of him a little bit.
That's what you have to do.
You tag the athletes because if we talk about him in the show, and then maybe they retweet it.
Yeah, we talked about Brandon Marshall and chasing it, and we played the little clip of him talking about chasing the mm-hmm. losses in Vegas. Mm-hmm. So when I posted the podcast, I tagged him in it, and hopefully he would see it and maybe, you know, shout us out or reply. And speaking of Twitter, you know who followed me?
Hit us.
John Daly.
Holy crap.
You know who followed me? John Daly.
Oh.
Ray, check your Twitter. You know who followed Ray?
I don't even look at that stuff.
Well, it tells you. Like,
yeah, it just happened. I mean, when John Daly follows you, it kind of pops out
it
when
pops
you're looking.
It pops up. Coach.
I don't know if he got me. Yeah, he's not hitting the
producer. He followed a lot of us.
So I immediately hit him with a reply and asked him if he wanted to come on the Sore Losers. I heard nothing back.
Oh.
He's smoking a cigarette.
Drinking a beer. I don't know if he drinks beer anymore.
He doesn't?
Is he sober?
I don't know.
And Ray,
yellow.
You came on. I don't know. You talked about Outer Banks, and you gave it what? What did you give it?
I'd say 4 boats out of 5 boats.
Okay, Eddie, you seen Outer Banks, right?
Loved it. Yeah, it's good.
Okay, it's about a coastal town, treasure in the water. Go find it.
It's
kids.
Like modern day Goonies,
man, with some hot chicks.
I mean, yeah, they're older,
and better boats.
I watched the first episode of Outer Banks, and let me tell you, that was one of the... it was so cheesy.
Okay, it is a little cheesy.
It's cheesy as crap, actually.
So, I mean, yes, because I hear about how great it is, right? Oh, it's so good.
The storyline's awesome, though.
It's so amazing. Like, you got to watch it. It's the hottest show on Netflix. Okay, let me check this out. No one said, hey, this is super cheesy, and the cheese factor is through the roof. No one told me that. No one said anything about that. So I go into the first episode expecting to be blown away by awesomeness. And all I saw the whole time was cheesiness. And
If you're going to say something, please go.
The acting, was terrible. they're terrible actors. So maybe they have to find young-looking people that are good swimmers and know how to handle a boat, so it really limited their pool of actors. Okay, cool. But then there's one scene that really just got me. The fight scene at the beach was terrible.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was very bad.
Very bad. Very, very bad. Then.
Because it's like rich versus poor, right?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, come on.
Oh, so that's how it works out at every beach party. There's always a line drawn. Rich, poor.
Rich, poor, and somebody's got a gun.
It's pretty much the guy that's trying to bang the other dude's chick. Those are the people that fight. Not everybody watches it. There's horrible lighting.
Yeah, I mean, no. If you're at the beach that late, it's going to be a lot darker than that. Then the kids are in the boat. Okay.
Here we go.
And they're just in the boat. They're not doing anything. You have no idea what they're doing in the boat.
Coach, I agree with you totally on this.
And this boat comes around the curve, and it has two guys in jeans and long sleeve shirts. Okay.
The other guy's trying to kill him.
No. They see these kids. They have no idea.
No idea.
The kids are just in a boat. It could have been any boat. and they just start opening fire.
No, they knew who they were.
How do they know?
Because they know exactly who that kid is and what he's trying to do.
No, they
know,
don't.
Yes, they do. I mean, I guess his dad.
Okay, I get. But also,
he doesn't know yet. They don't know yet that he knows that it's his dad.
Right, but they didn't react that way. They just freaking went as soon as they got fired on. Crap, go.
Right, but there's no need to fire on them immediately.
Here's the thing. Look, when we were young.
Great point, Bizzle. I agreed with all those
when
points.
When we were young, we loved American Pie, right? We loved Can't Hardly Wait. Those Scream. The cheesiest, dumbest movies ever. Complete cheese.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
But we loved it because we were kids.
But those are known for being cheesy. Those are supposed to be cheesy. This wasn't supposed to be cheesy.
Says who? Coach, if you watch the first 30 minutes of this thing and you don't think it's cheesy, you're out of your mind.
Listen, but the thing I loved, I hear you on the gun scene. It was like, and they weren't even that shocked they were getting shot at.
Right.
Oh, go, go, go. Dude, if I'm getting shot, I'm like hiding in the boat, screaming, crying. Those kids are like, hey, he's shooting at us. Go, go, go.
Keep going. Keep going.
And also, I mean, it's just like, the thing they found. You're telling me he goes down there and just finds that thing?
Okay, so he finds it, right?
That was the most
corny thing. Out of everything on the boat, they take that one thing.
And he was able to find it in the lead pipe thing randomly? Hey, Coach, that made no sense whatsoever that's the one thing.
Oh, when they found the ship?
Yes. No, well, when he found his dad's...
okay.
When he found that, Coach.
And
that
the cop
was the
boat pulls up and they...
Wait, hold on. You guys are talking about two different things.
No. I'm talking about the thing he found, which isn't even significant. I could mention it, but I'm not going to spoil it. Okay. But when he found it, that was the most chance thing to ever happen in the world, and he wasn't even that shocked by it. He just goes, oh, yeah, I know exactly what this is. So he's the person that found the one thing that there's about a 0.0001% chance of finding, and he found his dad's thing? Come on. Come on. And then they're just like, oh my gosh. So like he works for the dad, the rich dad, and then he gets fired and he has access to the house. But the rich dad just happens to be the one that knows everything. And the daughter, he falls in love with her and it's all just connected. How is that connected? It was never connected. The rich dad.
So did you like the show, Ray, or not?
I liked it, but the cheese factor was amazing because you're telling me the rich dad that you worked for originally but got fired for, you're going to fall in love with his daughter, but also the rich dad's the one that has access and all the information to all of this big secret.
Haters.
I've only seen one episode, so I don't know all what Ray's going into. But
who's the one person that had all the information he needed?
But because you're not watching the rest.
I don't think I'm going to watch the rest. I think I'm done. Like, so there's no way.
Guys. Stop it with the unrealistic.
And I also have one more take.
Continue. Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, so it's also this lifestyle of hang loose, man. Yeah, I'm just going to jump on the boat later, dude. Later, man. I mean, these kids.
I'm going to give up my merit scholarship just to hang out with you guys on the boat.
He didn't want to, because that was a hard decision. He didn't want to.
He pulls up to the dad's house. Hey, man, can he come with us? No, you're not going. He runs and jumps on the boat.
Hang I'll do loose, it tomorrow, dog. Dad. I promise. I'll do it tomorrow.
That pissed me off, dog. That part pissed me off as a dad. I mean, I would have gone and ripped his shirt off.
Stop.
And these kids, none of them have all their life is just on the water. Hey, man, hang loose. Come on the water, bro. It's not that much of a town centered around water, but these kids are always on the water.
What town is that?
It's Outer Banks, North Carolina.
North Carolina?
Yeah. It's like, I bet people live in Outer Banks don't even own a boat. Like, apparently, this was the only mode of transportation for these kids is boats. Like, they were
all... Well, they were poor, Coach.
But if you're poor, how do you afford a boat?
Everyone's got a boat on the coastal lands.
Boats are not cheap to maintain.
Coach, that was not a nice boat. Let's be real.
Oh, but it sure outran the $1 million boat that those two guys were firing guns from.
Guys.
And also, poor kid has beach access to the boat on the water. I thought he was poor, but he's on the water.
He's got a spot at the marina.
Guys.
Yeah.
Come on.
And then also, the cop shows up at his house, that woman cop, okay? This is all in the first episode that I'm just like, this is so dumb. And she's like, you down in the marsh? You know, you find something? And he goes, no. And she goes, you better not. Like, she's direct. I mean, get out of here. Like, come on.
And then, the cops, there's only two cops, and they go in the water to investigate some stuff. You're in an entire body of water, but these two cops are in there. I don't know if you've seen this episode. These two cops are just sifting through an entire Atlantic Ocean, and they just happen to...
Yeah, and these two guys in the first episode, they're going to go do a search, and they have volunteers, and these two guys show up in jeans and black shirts, no swimsuits, and they're like, oh yeah, you can go in. You can go ahead and go in the marsh. We'll let you go. No, you'd be like, huh? You don't seem like you're from around here, and you don't seem to be wearing any swim gear. I don't know. I should probably investigate you. Whatever. Terrible
man,
show.
You guys are hating hard on the Outer Banks.
And a little bit. They're all under 21, but they just have access to beer. They're all, at the very beginning, they're always drinking beers, driving
boats.
That
was my high school, too.
Well, I mean, in Outer Banks, you may, I mean.
I mean, Coach, in my high school, we had access to beer every
Okay, well,
day.
My point is, if you got access to beer underage, it was at 2 a.m. when your buddy that got off his grocery store shift was able to buy some beer. These kids just walk around day drinking, guys, and it's just normal
guys,
and cool.
Guys, it's a TV show. This isn't a reality show. No one said when they watch Star Wars, like, okay, this dad's got a mask. And he can barely breathe.
No, because
this
it wasn't dude, cheesy. I mean, at least the acting
it
was
is
good.
Cheesy.
How
they
bad
shoot
was
laser
this
guns?
Acting?
No, John B. I thought was decent. Ugh. The other one, I mean, he was just the gun scene. Like, there were some very bad acts. The rich kids that are the frat guys, they're just fake as crap.
You
like,
thought the dad was bad acting?
No, the dad's
Charles
amazing.
Charles Esten?
No,
Charles
I'm talking
Esten.
About,
that was legit.
No, I barely saw Charles Esten because I've only seen
coach,
one
you
episode.
Keep watching.
No, I'm not. I'm telling you, the kids, just watching the kids act, I'm like, this is awful.
They get better. It's almost like you watching the pilot of Friends. They were all terrible actors at the beginning, but you keep watching it, they get better, Coach.
Oh, so in the next six episodes, they become Oscar worthy?
Better actors, yes.
I mean, you can't get much worse.
Their stories, they develop, their characters develop a little better. Coach, I loved it. And if you watch it all the way to the end,
And then they go to the motel, right? They go to the motel.
Coach, here we go. You're giving away the whole episode.
But honestly, we're talking about it a lot without giving away anything.
Yeah. They go to the motel, and the cops show up at the same time they're in the room, and they just go and hang out on the ledge.
Coach,
get out of here.
Thank you for breaking
this
up. They
climb out the window. Okay. How do you climb out the window? Here, my question.
Well, the cop did look out the window see him.
The cop, right there. The cop looks out the window, but doesn't think to open the window.
Yeah, and doesn't think it's suspicious that a boat is just sitting down there with two people waiting for, I mean, what are you doing?
Coach, why would a cop look out a window if he wasn't trying to investigate something? So cool, open up the window more and look out both ways.
You hear a noise and you're not going to like stick your head out or go out the front door and look out the side of the building. And how do you get out the window, close the blinds, close the window, and not leave one little blind wrinkled?
Exactly.
Yeah, they're good. They were good. No, you're right. Well, at that scene, I was like, this is not very
good. I mean,
realistic.
And then they get the combination of the save, just like, oh, wait. Like, he's over there trying all these numbers and like,
hey, what's your birthday plus the number one? Oh, perfect. That's a good save combo.
Oh, wait. I remember seeing a piece of paper over on this side of the room. Like,
So you didn't like it?
No, and I only watched one episode.
Okay, you want to hear something that I liked?
Yeah.
John B.
And I haven't finished it yet because I fell asleep because it was getting late. It was the only reason is because it was getting late, and I wanted to finish it because the story was so good.
Oh, it's stupid Ray's
and
movie.
It's
stupid Ray's movie.
Loved what I've seen so far of Molly's Game.
Yes! Hey! Yes! Coach! Yes!
Wow.
I told you.
Wow.
I told you.
It's a great movie.
So good.
I don't know what's going to happen because right now.
Where are you at?
Right now they're in the middle of court. She got
okay, all right, all right. So you saw the part where the guy went chasing.
Okay, that's the last thing I saw.
I mean, he went chasing.
Coach, this dude goes chasing.
No, don't even tell.
Chasing hard.
So good.
Dude, is it a show or a movie?
It's a movie.
Okay.
And Coach, the thing is, I wake up, you know, this morning, like with that bad feeling. You know, when you drink too much, sometimes you wake up and you're like,
been there.
You're just like, I just feel gross. Like, I just did not have a good night last night.
Been there.
That's how I felt this morning because I felt for that dude who was chasing.
Oh,
he was like, B. Marshall chasing?
Oh, no.
Worse than
like,
B. Marshall.
He makes B. Marshall look like a little minnow.
It was crazy.
Like it looked like B. Marshall's was a 10-yard chase. Oh, my gosh.
Can I ask one question about B. Marshall? So, you know, I was trying to break it down. I honestly listened to the podcast, which is shocking. I never listened to our podcast back, but I thought it was such a good one. I listened back. When he said he lost 60K, then he lost 70K, then he lost another 70K, so he's down 140. And then he said, then we go into the season. Did he say like Four Seasons Hotel or did he say he went into the football season?
Football season.
Okay. So he left Vegas down 140 and I just didn't understand why, not to say cheesy, but I didn't understand why Jay Cutler had to write him a check right there. It makes sense that you would pay off a marker within a month. It just didn't make sense that Jay had to write him a check. I thought it was, he's in Vegas, he's chasing, he needed 60K to win it back.
I think that they gave him the marker from what I understand, just from what we heard, they gave him the marker. He out bet the marker. He lost the marker.
And so they're like, we need this now.
And then got more. So chasing. And then once he lost that, they're like, okay, you're not leaving here.
Okay, so then Jay Cutler landed in Vegas and gave him a check?
Yeah.
So not only did Jay give him money, he also flew to Vegas.
Hey, that's a bro.
But that's when they were playing in Denver, so it was only a 30-minute flight.
Oh, good call.
And I love when he goes, and then we go back into the season, and, you know, I make my $150,000. You made it so simple. Oh, in a couple of weeks, you make $150,000? That's cool. You can make back what you were chasing?
Yeah.
No big deal.
In a couple of weeks.
So would you recommend Molly's game to everybody?
Well, let me finish it. I'll finish it tonight. I watched half of Molly's game, and I watched part one of Lance Armstrong.
How was it?
Fantastic.
He comes off as a total douchebag.
Of course he does. And here's the thing, though. Like, it just tells the story. I think we all know the story, but it kind of gives him a chance.
Coach. It's a pretty popular story.
But it gives him a chance to explain his side of the story. But like all the people that kind of lie a little bit when they tell their stories, they say one thing every single time. What do they say? At least that's how I remember.
Wait, did he hit you with that line?
Coach, he hit us hard at the very beginning. So he says, I mean, this is my story. As far as how I remember it.
I mean, what a dirty scumbag. He threatened people's lives to stay on top.
They haven't talked about that.
I'm just saying, I remember this from his story. He was flying like Floyd Landis and people that were trying to call him out. And he showed up and he was like, I will end you.
Oh, they haven't gotten to that yet. That might be the one I haven't seen, part two. Is there only two parts to this?
I think so. I haven't seen it either. I'm just saying what I remember from back in the day.
I mean, the first part really focuses a lot on how everyone doped.
Now, I do believe that cycling is one of those sports that everyone doped.
Everyone doped, and their point that they make, and they're interviewing a lot of people in cycling, and they all agree that the Tour de France is impossible to do without doping. It's just one of those, it's 20 marathons, like running 20 marathons every day for 20 days. It's almost impossible. Your body takes a bad beating and you need help doing it. So everyone dopes.
Yeah.
Now, the problem with him is that he doped. He made himself a hero by beating cancer.
A Live Strong band.
A Live Strong hero. In the people's eyes, and then lie to the people over and over about it.
Then the real truth is, now he says that he started doping when he was like 19.
Yeah, 20.
And he thinks 21. That the doping
gave him cancer?
Yes.
Well, he didn't say that exactly. He says he's not sure that it gave him the cancer, but he was taking growth hormones. So if he does have a little tiny tumor or a little bit of cancer, if it's growing his muscles and everything else,
it's growing the cancer. Guys, phenomenal review. That makes me really want to watch it.
It's really good. And
but you knew he was going to come across as a little grimy and greasy. I mean, there's no way Lance is going to make himself look better
from this. Chance. I don't know how he can.
Some of the previews, the footage looked pretty dope, right? Sorry, no pun intended.
What do you mean? Hey, Coach, what footage?
It just showed like where he was training. It almost looked like some unseen
showed
footage
like,
and stuff.
Previews.
No, but footage of what? Like modern,
the stuff
modern
that was fascinating to me, definitely back then, that was cool to me is when he would actually train and he'd have like cars following him so that people couldn't, you know, so he could just train. Like how cool you can almost shut down traffic, him riding the hills in Austin, just training for these things.
Well, the thing too, Coach, I mean, even when we were in Austin, like if you could see him riding all the time by himself and no one even knew it was Lance.
Oh, really?
So many people
ride bikes.
Well, it wasn't just him. The dope was with him as well.
a few extra red blood cells.
Did you see that guy riding up that hill?
Now, my question is, here's my question. Was it all worth it because of what he did?
Yeah.
How much money he raised for cancer research?
Yes. Yes. I mean, the guy did dope. The thing that sucked is that he lied about it. But yes, his comeback story inspired so many people. Coach, I had double Live Strong bands that whole summer.
But I'm talking about baseball.
Here's the problem. I think what Lunch is saying, though, is what it did for cancer research. Yes. In that sense, 100% it was worth it. Because he did start Live Strong Foundation. A lot of people donated, including myself. All three of us here probably donated to this. And it really did well for that. However, the people that were inspired by his story are no longer inspired by that story because it was all a lie.
I also look at the counter of that, of how many lives he ruined by threatening them and, you know, saying so I don't know how to look at it. This is one I struggle with when I look at the Lance Armstrong. I'm like, yeah, you raised a lot of money for cancer research, but you ruined a lot of people's lives by threatening them and, you know, having them blackballed from cycling and things like that.
But even the Tour de France was saying they had to cover it up. They knew what he was doing because he was the Tiger Woods of cycling at that point. The eyes on cycling was unheard of. The whole world was watching cycling because of this dude's story. So they had to lie as well. It's crazy. He's not the only one. The problem is it was his story. He was the face of it. And he lied to all of us.
Now, what does he do nowadays, I wonder? Because
he's still racing and stuff, like doing little challenges.
Not as fast, though.
He was one of the biggest celebrities.
Sucks racing now.
But he was one of the biggest celebrities in the world.
His kids barely beating him.
He can't win.
His wife beats him.
He was one of the biggest celebrities in the world. Mm-hmm. And now you don't hear anything.
You don't.
Coach, there's a part. I don't know who he is. And I'm sure people know who he is. But it's a friend of his who played baseball. It said Major League dude. I don't know. You probably know who he is.
I mean, you don't know the who's who or the what's what.
I don't know the who's who or the what's what's. I forgot his name.
Of course,
but they
Coach.
go to this event. It's modern day. It's like shot in like the last year or so. And they're doing this charity event.
It's a 5K.
No, they're in a club. They're in a club doing a charity event, whatever. And they leave. And this dude, he's just funny. He's outspoken and stuff. And he goes, hey, do we really need to be doing this? Like, I'm over the whole, hey, we're celebrities, sneak out the back of the club to get to the car that's parked in the front. Dude, no one gives a crap who you are anymore, Lance. Like, let's just go out the front door.
That's great.
And Lance didn't even laugh, but this dude was cracking himself up. He's like, can we be over this crap? We're not even celebrities anymore. Like, no one gives a crap who you are.
I'm about to watch it. And someone said that the Roy Halladay one was really deep and interesting. They did a E60 story like they did the Alex Smith.
Yeah.
Ooh, but I didn't watch it. I guess it was gonna. His wife was talking about how he was addicted to opioids, pain pills, Eesh. And ugh.
There's also the Bruce Lee story that they've been teasing. I can't wait to see.
Yeah, I mean they're doing a good job of putting these out because they need material. Because
well, I feel like they had it in the works. Now it's in hyperspeed.
Right, like the Jordan one wasn't supposed to come out till I think after the NBA playoffs.
So tell me this, did they rush it? Was it maybe some of the stuff not finished?
No, it was finished, but like the Jordan stuff wasn't supposed to come out till after basketball season, I think at the end of June.
Okay.
But then when there's no basketball, they moved
just
it up.
Go, finish it.
Okay, then there's still no basketball, so we moved the Lance Armstrong up. I don't know if they moved it up or if that was the original air date, but now they're putting it all out because they need stuff to fill that spot, mm-hmm. and they have no sports. But speaking of sports, the NBA, these are what they're talking about. They've been in, talks.
You're talking about 2K or a real NBA?
No, real NBA. Okay. They're looking at July 31st as a start date down in Orlando.
Okay, that's a hard day you're giving us right there.
That's what I've been reading.
It's exactly what I did with my bachelor party. I said, boom, June 25th, now the NBA. You've got to give people hard dates.
These are the provisions. They're talking about what they're going to do. 16 teams would return. So the playoffs would be the 1-8 seed right now, and that's it. The other teams that would be outside wouldn't come back.
Sorry, Memphis.
Sorry San Antonio.
Yeah, sorry, San Antonio, for sure.
Okay. Or
sorry, New York.
They're going to bring back 20 teams, and they're going to make it like a World Cup-style group stage. You'll see five groups of four teams. They'll each play each other twice, and the top two teams from each bracket move into the playoffs.
Hmm.
Okay.
Hmm. There's third.
Oh, no, there's one on one. The players don't have their teams with them. It's just like LeBron versus whoever the best team, like Zion.
Or they do shirts and skins.
22 teams bringing back an extra six teams to Orlando. These are all teams that are within six games of the playoffs. That would mean the Pelicans, Blazers, Kings, Spurs, Suns, and Wizards.
I like that. Give them a little second chance. I mean, whatever.
They get Zion in, baby.
They would build maybe a single elimination bracket with these eight teams.
That's fun.
And
well, are they going to make decisions, or they just put all this stuff out there?
So we can talk about it.
These are all. Well, that's what I'm saying. These are what
they're like, guys. We really don't know which is the best idea. Why don't we just put it out to the media? They'll bash and criticize it, and then we come up with a final product.
That could be what they're doing, Coach.
This is according to The Athletic's Shams Sharina.
Ooh. Oh, good quote, Coach.
Who's that?
I don't know, but that's just what it says.
He's the leading authority.
Of course.
Then they're also talking about bringing back all 30 teams and having 10 games per team to finish out the regular season and then going from there.
I think the answer is the more games, the better. However you do.
I don't give a crap. Start them at 8 a.m., baby.
Yeah, whatever you decide to
as
do.
As long as the bettors benefit.
That's right. The more games, the better.
Any way you can get these games started during our morning show, that'd be awesome.
let's do it like the NCAA tournament.
Dude, Zion's playing a playoff game at 9 a.m.?
Talk about
the greatest moment of your to finish your day at, like, our morning show.
Seriously, dude. Hey, and that's a one way to jumpstart the economy, dude. Get people at bars at 9 a.m.
True. Coach, the point is, get sports back, and then everything else will follow.
This Thursday, Adam Silver is supposed to present his recommendation to the NBA Board of Governors, and that's when they're going to vote. So he hadn't made a decision, but these are all the ones that are being discussed for potential when they come back. And it's going to come down to, a lot of it, I think, comes down to money. I mean, they're going to have to make money.
Mm-hmm.
So how many can they put on TV? Mm-hmm. How are they going to
There's nothing on TV, so I'm sure the networks are like,
how are they
going to
keep their sponsors happy? Because they've got to make money.
Hey, so basketball's making a power move. Hockey, I've seen some stuff going on. MLB, are they not turning on the TV and seeing the Korean League just balling out right now?
No, I told you, Major League Baseball's in trouble. If they do, they have to play, but they are at an impasse because of money. They don't want to take the players don't want to take such a big reduction. The owners don't want to give them as much money because it's a shortened season.
But are they paying them right now while they're doing nothing?
I don't know.
Or do they get paid by game?
That's a good question.
Okay.
But you're not playing, so you don't need the answer.
Because like the
like, no, I'm trying to understand.
Well, did you see that they released a lot of minor leaguers? Like they're done. They're not
and the little leaguers.
No. The minor leaguers are not getting, like, they're no longer on their team.
They released a lot of T-ballers too. They're not allowed to play. Like, the future of baseball in America is donezo.
Because they can't afford to pay them.
Of course. They can't afford to pay them the $10 a day that they pay.
The $400.
$400, is that what they get paid, the minor leaguers?
Yeah.
What were we talking about? Baseball, football, basketball.
Well, something I saw too that's interesting. I took my kids to the little baseball game because they're starting the league up next week or this week, actually.
Oh, dude, MLB. Where are you guys at?
Thursday. And what they did, as I saw, they're already preparing for it. They put player one 6 feet apart, player two 6 feet apart in the dugouts. So maybe it's probably about four kids in the dugout, and then they just take it all the way down the fence line. So the kids
poor kids are probably bored out of their mind.
They're just
going to
sit. They're just going to sit in their little spot until it's time for them to bat. It's going to suck.
That's weird,
dude. I watched your Korean League baseball, Eddie.
Yeah,
you guys were talking about it. I thought on Friday, why not give it a shot?
And up to bat right now is ding.
I put a little scratch on it too, just to make it a little bit more interesting. What it is different is they make errors. There would be a routine play to shortstop, supposed to be a double play. The guy would just miss the ball. So they're not as good as Major League Baseball. Like, Major League Baseball players would always field that ball and at least get one out. Dude, in the Korean League, you don't even know if it's a for sure out.
Well,
like,
just think, Coach. I mean, we have the best of the world.
Like, right. And
the best of the world come to play here.
So our pitchers that drop out of MLB.
And just think about this, Coach. Major League Baseball, when you look at the end of every game, it always says zero errors for both teams.
Usually.
Usually.
The pitchers that are scrubs.
Never make errors.
The pitchers that suck in U.S. go over there and are actually pretty dominant.
Yeah.
There was a Staley guy. I guess he just dropped out with Baltimore. Career was pretty much over. He went over there. He's kind of a god. He's like unhittable.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, our players are obviously a lot better than theirs. And they don't. Maybe it was a deep stadium. Guys, they don't hit home runs. They literally don't hit home runs. I thought there was like power hitters and stuff like that.
Well, usually with the fans, with all that noise or yelling, the wind's blowing out with all that noise.
Oh, while they're yelling.
Yeah,
good
so
point.
That way, since there's no fans, it's kind of dead air.
What about the people yelling in the outfield? That doesn't push the ball back?
I think there's more fans on the infield, so it outnumbers, it counteracts that wave.
I'm telling you, man, if you're Korean baseball, you guys need to lift some weights or something. Get some power behind that.
Coach, did you enjoy watching it?
It was fine. I didn't do the audio. I couldn't. I was working, but...
That's the best part.
I know. Put a couple bucks on it. Watch it. It was fun. It was, you know, it didn't matter that there wasn't any fans. It was some quality, you know, seeing some other guys that used to play in the major leagues. It was cool.
Shout out David Price. As he said, he will pay out of his own money $1,000 for the month of June, which for the every minor league player.
It's June 1st. Hand me my $1,000.
No, for every
stimulus money.
Every minor league player.
For every podcaster.
David Price will pay out $1,000 of his own money to every single minor league player in the Dodgers system.
All right. $1,000 a what?
For the month of June.
Oh, a month.
So every single
he's gonna
minor leaguer
Trump
in
for them.
And what's crazy is he's never even played a game for the Dodgers yet.
Why'd he pick them?
He just got traded
team.
To them.
That's his next team. That's his team.
Oh. This offseason, but he's never been a part of the Dodgers. Like, he's never been to a practice.
How do you get in? See, like, when I play NBA 2K, a team chemistry is a big part of your success. So how do you, what's a better way to get in with your team and like just completely vibe with your team by doing this?
But it's pretty awesome of him to take his own money and say, hey, I was a minor leaguer at some point and I understand the struggle. And he's a really rich now. Really
right.
rich.
So that's like you saying, guys, everybody on the street that I see begging for money, I will give you
a dollar. But you don't see Bryce Harper coming out and giving that. I'm saying it's just an incredible act of kindness by David Price. I tip my hat to you. That's all
I'm
saying.
You're not wearing a hat.
I was wearing a hat when I read the story, and I tipped my cap.
Okay.
And if you've ever seen the little Jeter's little nephew tip his cap, respect. Yep. That's what I'm doing to you. Wow. And I want to respect Ray for being honest, because Ray had a big bet this weekend.
Very big. It was ended dumb, though.
It ended dumb, and you weren't honest as you said you were.
Oh, my God.
So shocking. Ended up, did a massive parlay with simulations, had the potential to win $8,000. So it's winding down, okay? There's two games left.
And he said, I'm one win away from five.
The Cowboys were winning. There was no chance in hell the Cowboys weren't going to win this game. So I'm like, you know what? Now is the time to tweet it, because I got a claim that I hit the parlay before you hit it, so that people don't think you just made it all up or whatever. So I go, okay, I got to tweet this. Literally, the second I tweeted it was the biggest collapse by simulated Cowboys players in the history of Cowboys football. Coach, they go to overtime and lose the damn game. So I didn't even make it to the then final game. So that's why I jumped ahead. Never say a game is over before the fat lady sings. So I didn't win the money.
The jinx is real.
And coach, second I tweeted it, I've never seen Dak Prescott suck more. And I think Ezekiel just gave the ball to the other team the second I tweeted that.
Oh, he just would give it to him?
Yeah, he gave it. They were ahead by two scores. They just handed him the ball. Next thing you know, we're in overtime. And I'm like, oh, crap. I already tweeted that I won this game. I ended up losing it.
And bake show.
Hey, coach, what do they look like before the whole, you know, the whole fall of the Cowboys? What did they look like? CeeDee Lamb playing with them?
No.
He's not on the team yet?
No. Some of them, they're not putting the guys on the team
yet. Now, my question, when you watch this simulation, how long does it take the game?
Hour 15.
Oh, my gosh.
But you're
you got to watch an episode of Outer Banks.
You guys sit through timeouts and stuff in commercials?
No, that's the beauty of it. There's no halftime. There's no timeouts.
And what takes so long?
I mean, there's 12-minute quarters.
And they let the play clock run down. They get to the line of scrimmage. They check the defense. They call audibles, you know.
You know, Dink and Dak, he's dinking it around for an hour and 15.
Dang.
He does the same thing in simulation. Doesn't throw it more than 10 yards.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, Cooper played well. I don't know what happened to the defense. They fell apart late. That might carry over into real-world season. But just a heads up on that.
Let's hope not, Coach.
Yeah, the Browns straight up whacked them. A good one.
Wow. Oh, so the Browns beat the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Realistic.
Hey, okay. Baker just carved them up.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Baker's a little more mature this offseason. Did you see what he said? He goes, I don't have time for interviews. He's turned down interviews. And he goes, no, I'm done talking. I got to let my play.
You got a new PR person.
And maybe.
Probably like, shut the hell up.
Or you got a new coach, and the coach was like, look, Baker, we don't need you out there in front of the media. We need you in the film room, learning the playbook. Like, let's just go. And he had a bunch of Browns players down to Austin, Texas to, you know, throw some passes. And, hey. Bakes learned his lesson the hard way.
Yeah, learn from Johnny Manziel. I also did this on Instagram. Guys, if you can find him online, do his Instagram or whatever. Johnny Manziel is almost unrecognizable. He's lost a ton of weight. Doesn't look healthy. I'm talking almost skeleton-like.
Really?
If you saw a picture of Johnny Manziel, I tweeted on my Instagram, put it on my Insta, it is not the same Johnny Manziel. Something has gone terribly wrong.
I emailed you guys a couple weeks ago saying, okay, Jordan documentary over. Who would you like to see a documentary about? Like
Johnny Manziel.
Johnny Manziel was one of my picks. We never did this. We should do it now, but you bring up Johnny Manziel. I would love, even though he didn't have success in the NFL, that is one person I'd like to see a documentary on to see what happened, where, like, was it in college he was already that bad, or just the, oh my gosh, the sudden burst into fame and then he gets drafted high to the Browns. I would love to see a documentary on him. I would like to see one on Vince Young.
Like, where are they now?
Kind of like, where did it go wrong? Like, these were the best college athletes and they were supposed to be, like, and it just blah. Ugh.
Yeah, I would like to see one of Tim Tebow. Just because.
There you go. That's a good one.
Because he is one of the few people that I believe are truly, truly good people. And he's just, his story, I think, would be very inspirational to people that try so hard and never get to where they want to get to, because that's him for sure. Good dude, really talented.
Great pick.
Cannot make it in the professional level.
That is a great pick.
I'd love to see that.
They should. Why don't they?
Hollywood.
Maybe they're working on it. I don't know.
Man,
you Ray? Just Manziel?
I definitely piggyback with lunch on that one. Give me Johnny Football.
I mean, it's just so interesting how...
Did he start the season?
Yeah.
He started it?
Mm-hmm.
Man.
And so he was like talking about like it's football season or what?
Football season. And then it all fell in place with his little money sign that he started all that wave.
And then you just took it and ran with it?
Yeah.
And but what's your meaning behind it?
Season?
Yeah.
It means season, so it goes really with anything.
So it's the Ray season?
Yeah.
Season of Ray?
Yeah.
And it's a nonstop season of Ray, like season of Ray year-round.
Okay.
And it just flows. You know, people, girls say it's a comfy sweater season. It's boat season.
It's Raymundo season.
Everybody uses it for whatever they're doing in their life.
So but he does just, season Raymundo.
Right, so it's season Raymundo.
Yeah, I switched it up because I'm Spanish. It's always opposite.
But you're not Spanish.
I am.
No, you're not.
I have
Slater is not Spanish.
We did 23andMe, and it was less than 1% Mexican American.
Well, then I'm Jewish.
Excuse me.
I was 1% Arbor Germano Jew.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't do it, so I don't know.
I want to know that 23andMe. I mean, can they not tell about the corona? They basically took our saliva. They can figure out everything else.
Oh, tell if you have corona
or something. I mean, they have my saliva.
Well, Coach, but they took your saliva a long time ago.
It's true.
It's not like it updates on its own.
Okay, like I was watching Jersey Shore this weekend, right?
Ah, so unrealistic.
That's quality programming. Speaking of cheesy and terrible show of everything in my life.
No, listen, it has gotten bad. It's forced, whatever.
Yes, but they're all aged and fat and no longer hot chicks.
But it can still be funny, but they have a psychic or whatever over to the house to kind of, you know, read the future of this.
Oh, I'll tell you the future. Not looking good. It's pretty
not going to get renewed.
But my question is, so people believe in psychics, right? That fortune tellers,
some
all this
people
crap.
Do, yeah.
So you're telling me not one psychic could have told us that the coronavirus was coming? Not one psychic out of all these psychics in the world.
So didn't somebody say it? Oh, Bill Gates said it. He said that a pandemic's coming soon.
No. If you're a psychic and you can see the future, you know exactly what's going to happen.
Oh, are you telling us you believe psychics are not real? And they're not, well, they're not telling the truth?
This makes me, when I'm watching Jersey Shore this weekend, I look at my wife and I said, you know what? If this psychic's real, and if all these psychics around the world, there's so many of them, if they're so real, how come not one of them could predict and say, there's this thing called corona, it's coming, we need to be prepared?
I don't believe that they do big, broad predictions. I feel they get in touch with a single person, and that's how they're able to see the future a little bit. They make people predictions, not necessarily worldly.
Oh, I
there's a psychic next to the crib. I haven't been to him, but that makes me kind of think, what if I was to go there and ask them some questions?
Exactly. I went one time in high school. I was in Dallas, and we went, and the psychic told me I was going to meet my soulmate at 22.
Right on that.
Didn't happen. I was going to make my living in computers.
Close. No. He's got a phone and computer.
You have a computer right in front of
you.
Yeah,
they got that one.
It just
said I was going to have trouble with the iPhone for years and years and system updates and refreshing and all that crap.
They said I'm going to have two kids. I do have two kids. Crap.
They were right. Baby box two just got born.
They ever say that?
No.
They ever say you're going to have kids?
No, didn't get that deep. Just soulmate at 22.
They said I was going to live in a city. Well, I guess I live in a city.
I was going to breathe. Well, I'm going to drink water to survive. Well, they got that right.
I do drink water to survive.
Yeah, my friend's dad wanted me to ask the psychic if I was ever going to recover from my knee injury to play hockey again.
Who?
Because you didn't play hockey?
Because I didn't play hockey to see if the psychic would be like,
oh, that's great. Did you?
No, I forgot when I got in
you
there.
You forgot to lie.
I got all flustered.
And I was 14 years old. Like, I forgot.
I was in New York with one of our dudes, Justin the Suit.
Yeah.
And we, well,
hopefully not recently.
We'd gone to a few bars or whatever, and we were walking down the streets of New York, and there's one of those, you know, palm reader, you know, psychic things. He's like, screw it. I've never done one of these. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
How bored were y'all?
Coach, we were just walking back to the hotel. He's like, let me try it. I mean, it was 100?
Did you watch it?
I got to sit there and kind of watch from a distance, and it was like,
he made
$80 or something, and he got his palm red.
Man, you always know rich people, they do not know how to spend their money.
They do not.
What did the palm reader tell him?
He asked him, like, when am I going to die? She's like, no, I don't do that. But you're going to live a healthy life.
Oh, like, one of those.
And it's going to be an average.
And then he lit up his cigarette.
Hey, buddy. Just stupid stuff like that. Like, you know, you're already married. I can tell you're married. You guys want
to have a wedding ring on.
Right.
And he looked like he had a stick up his ass. That's how she knew.
All that stuff.
And he had no lipstick. He didn't even smell like a chick. You guys had just been at clubs all night. So
there was
she knew.
Nothing. There was nothing out of the ordinary.
All right.
And he's like, you want to do it, buddy? I'm like, no, I'm good, buddy.
No, buddy. I'll save my $80, buddy. Oh, man. All right. Well, have a great Monday. Happy Monday.
All right. Is that it?
Yeah.
You want to promote anything?
Yeah. We are thesorelosers at gmail.com. Hit us with your emails. Let's do it.
Hit those t-shirt sales.
Oh, yeah. Shopsorelosers.com. Shopsorelosers.com.
And then Steve, if Steve's listening, come on, let's get an update.
Hey, Steve, we need an update. How did it go? Like, what was the reaction? Like,
yeah.
Hit us with something. Like, yeah. Don't leave us
we're
out here
in the cold, man.
Yeah, don't leave us out here in La La Land. Sorry, we're not La La Land.
La La Land.
Out in the cold.
All right.
We need to know.
All right.
All right. Eddie, good luck on your 2K career today.
Thanks, Coach. I'm in the middle of my season. It's all right. It's just a regular season now.
All right.
I was playing 2K.
You were?
Yeah, I don't do the season.
You're on 2K20?
Well, 19.
Oh, Coach.
I was playing the fiance. I beat her 80-35.
Can you still play online with 2K19?
I don't know. I need to get the newer game.
Yeah. There's sales, Coach. There are sales all the time. Just look on the store.
Word.
All right, Coach. All right. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you. Coach, it was down.